This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The Democrats' draft platform before the party's national convention this week is calling for restoring the estate tax to its historical level and sharply reducing agriculture's energy emissions. Agriculture remains one of the most energy-dependent sectors of the U.S. economy, but the Democrats' draft platform calls for making the sector the first in the world to achieve net zero emissions. The draft is also seeking to increase corporate taxes, reversing cuts in the 2017 Republican tax cut effort. American Farm Bureau Executive Vice President Dale Moore recently cited a litany of tax burdens for agriculture.
And then you got the capital gains tax that comes in on top of all of that. Capital gains is a critical factor when it comes to succession planning for farmers and ranchers and their families as go from one generation to the next. You know, so if the death tax doesn't get you, you know, the capital gains tax would.
But the Democratic Party platform says the estate tax should be, quote, raised back to the historical norm. Not everything in the Democrats' platform is as controversial, though, including its call to tackle market concentration with stronger enforcement of antitrust laws.
The report shows that in May, this spread was $279 per hundredweight. That's the highest since reporting began in 2001. This is clearly an unsustainable model for beef production.
Grassley called the USDA report an endorsement of his bill to mandate that half of beef trade be negotiated cash sales. The Democrats' platform also calls for limiting foreign ownership of U.S. farmland and sharply criticizes the trade war with China without mentioning the resulting Phase 1 trade deal with Beijing. In other ag news out of Washington, lawmakers in the House of Representatives this week introduced the Helping America's Farmers Act. The legislation would create a new economic injury disaster loan program at the Department of Agriculture's Farm Service Agency. Introduced by Representative Jana Hayes, a Connecticut Democrat, and Antonio Delgado, a New York Democrat, the bill is endorsed by the National Milk Producers Federation and Dairy Farmers of America. The bill would appropriate $10 billion for direct loans through the FSA, along with another $10 billion for a guaranteed loan program through FSA lenders, and $300 million for administrative costs. Under the new loan program, applicants would also be eligible for a $20,000 grant upon application and can seek forgiveness for their loan based on demonstrated economic hardship. Application priority is given to farmers and ranchers located in the areas hit the hardest by an economic disaster, as well as minority, veteran, and women-owned operations. Representative Hayes said the legislation will get farmers, quote, the help they so desperately need. In news out of the Department of Agriculture, the USDA has recently expanded eligibility to more commodities included in the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program and is engaging with producers to provide them more information on applying. American Farm Bureau Federation economist Shelby Myers says the USDA added more specialty crops to the program.
USDA expanded eligibility to 41 more specialty crops in addition to the 42 that were added in July, and then also added all ages of sheep, frozen and liquid eggs, aquaculture, nursery crops, and cut flowers, while amending eligibility for six other specialty crops. This expansion will help more producers access the direct assistance needed to ease the financial and economic burdens resulting from COVID-19.
Myers says the initial creation of the program covered many commodities, but others were not included because of program requirements.
Many were considered ineligible due to a lack of publicly available price data showing a 5% or greater price decline as the program required. With efforts from the American Farm Bureau Federation and other farm groups to submit comments and price data, USDA continues to expand eligibility to more commodities as the information collected shows individual commodity needs.
USDA has extended the deadline to apply and is inviting farmers to learn more about CFAP through a webinar today.
Following a letter that the American Farm Bureau Federation and other farm groups submitted, USDA has extended the deadline for all producers to apply for CFAP until September 11, 2020. And then USDA will be hosting a webinar for producers who want more information on the newly eligible commodities on August 19th at 3 p.m. Eastern.
And you can register for the webinar today at farmers.gov/CFAP under videos and webinars. In other USDA news, the Department of Agriculture will be collecting additional harvested acreage information for corn and soybeans in Iowa in preparation for the September 11th crop production report. That's the report for the month of September. USDA's National Ag Statistics Service says corn and beans in Iowa have been impacted by the recent derecho last Monday. According to Lance Honig of NAS, the additional data will help to better assess the full impact of the storm. If the newly collected data justifies any changes, the National Ag Statistics Service will publish updated harvested acreage and estimates in the September report. The Iowa Department of Agriculture estimates the storm impacted approximately 14 million acres of crops. Iowa officials also say the storm damaged or destroyed 57 million bushels of licensed grain storage in the state, and tens of millions of bushels of on-farm storage were also lost during the storm, which may create grain storage challenges as farmers prepare for harvest. President Trump visited Iowa yesterday, Tuesday, and told local officials, "We are going to help you recover." In other crop news, the Pro Farmer Midwestern Crop Tour kicked off Monday and traveled through southeastern South Dakota and into north central and northeastern Nebraska. Dustin Hoffman has this report from the western leg of the tour.
In 2019, South Dakota showed a lot of immature crops and prevent plant acres. This year, scouts on the tour were hoping to see more normal conditions in both states. Western Tour lead Jeff Wilson talks about what scouts saw in South Dakota. The gains over last year were impressive. Wilson says the corn should have enough to finish, but the soybeans could use another drink.
I would say it was good to great. Talking with the other scouts on the 10 routes that we ran today, they say it's probably one of the best South Dakota crops they've ever seen, or measured for that matter. I think that there's probably, given the maturity of the corn, it's probably got enough moisture to make it to the end, but the beans are a little short in terms of the moisture that they have.
Wilson compares this year's crop to what South Dakota normally averages, and the numbers this year are good.
The bottom line is all you have to do is look at the fact that the corn yield that we measured today at 179.2 bushels was 12% above the three-year average. 16% above last year, but that doesn't really count because we had so much weather problems. The soybean pod counts, 50% larger than a year ago. So the factories are there, the ears are there. I was pretty amazed to count of the 12 routes that I measured today in South Dakota, four of those routes were projected at more than 210 bushels.
Wilson says that the crops are in relatively good shape for this time of year.
Obviously, the corn would really enjoy one more drink, and that would guarantee that you're going to have really good test weights. But the beans, it's pretty low relative to historical norms, and that's not a good sign. I would say that the beans surprised me as well. They were a little plumper. Sometimes when you get out here, they'll be pretty flat, and they were relatively plump, obviously not anywhere near full maturity levels. So that those rains would help them get to the finish line. Right now, it's a very good lead in terms of getting to record yields for both corn and beans in South Dakota.
As the tour made its way into Nebraska, Wilson says it was a slightly different story. The dry weather was having more effect on the crops they saw there on Monday.
They were, I wouldn't say surprised, but they were a little disappointed that the yields kind of came down a little bit from expectations that they may have had for the crop coming into the tour. There definitely are some dryness issues. It looks like there was also some planting problems. You know, we don't get maybe the same number of plants per field that farmers plan to have come up in their fields. So that's a little bit on the disappointing side. And the other thing is there's definitely been, I would say, from what I've heard from other crop scouts, there was definitely more wind damage than we had a year ago.
The western leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour will wrap up its time in Nebraska on Tuesday. I'm Dustin Hoffman.
The eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour this year found good corn and soybean numbers from western Ohio Monday. Chad Smith has more on that leg of the tour.
The eastern leg of the 2020 Pro Farmer Crop Tour scouted corn and soybeans in the western half of Ohio on Monday. Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady is leading the eastern leg of the tour. He talks about the Ohio corn crop estimate.
167.7 bushels per acre. That was up 8.6% from what we found last year in the state of Ohio. And it was up 0.9% from our three-year average for the state. So much better than last year. Probably not a surprise because of the immature crop that we measured last year, the struggles that they had early on. Much better start to the growing season. Now, it has turned dry in some of these areas, west central and northwestern Ohio in particular.
The corn crop in Ohio is in good shape as far as maturity.
The maturity is pretty decent, to be honest with you. We did get into some fields on my route in particular where it was in the late blister stage, milk stage. So that crop's going to need a little bit more time, and as a result, it's going to need more moisture. But mostly, we saw a crop that was dough to dent stage, and it's on normal maturation process here.
The soybean pod count in Ohio took a big step forward from last year.
Our pod count in the 3 foot by 3 foot square was 1155.7, so almost 1156 pods. That was up, and this is going to be a shocking number, up 51.3% from what we found last year. Last year was historically low potted crop, so that's why you see the big percentage change year over year there. I think the better comparison is probably to the 3 year average, and we're up 11.2% from the 3 year average. Keep in mind the 3 year average does include last year's historically low number. So if you would take that out and make it a more normal number last year, the increase from the 3 year average would be even less. It's a good soybean crop in the state of Ohio.
Ohio soybeans definitely need some late season rains to help them finish out the crop.
Even more so than corn, because late season weather is critical for soybeans. So anytime you can get rains in August, anytime you can get rains in September, just finish that crop out and allow those pods that we did find to plump up. That's the critical thing. If they don't get the rains, they don't get as plump, and as a result, your yield isn't as high as what it could have been.
Grady says he and the rest of the scouts didn't see a lot of disease or pest pressure in western Ohio.
There are some fields out there that have a little bit of weed pressure and things like that, but I've seen much worse. Pest pressure, not really. It's a pretty clean crop, both from a disease and pest perspective. So I think those aren't going to be yield-robbing factors this year. The question is going to be whether or not we get enough rain to fill out those soybeans.
Tuesday's scouting schedule includes stops in fields between Fishers, Indiana, to Bloomington, Illinois. Indiana results will be shared Tuesday night. Chad Smith reporting.
And now we'll move on to the State of Illinois Crop Progress and Condition Report that was released on Sunday. With the report, we joined Mark Sloysener with the National Ag Statistics Service in Springfield.
Temperatures were 1.4 degrees above normal, and rainfall averaged just under normal amounts last week in Illinois. The average rainfall across the state was 0.87 inches, and that was 4/100ths of an inch below normal. Temperatures range from 1 to 2 degrees above normal across the state. There was an average of 5.7 days suitable for field work last week. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 3% very short, 20 short, 72 adequate, and 5% surplus. Soybeans are blooming on 97% of acres compared to 95% for the 5-year average. 84% of acres are setting pods compared to 62% 1 year ago and 81% normally. Soybean conditions were reported as 7% very poor to poor, 17% fair, and 76% good to excellent. That is slightly worse than 1 week earlier. The Illinois corn crop has reached the dough stage or beyond on 81% of acres compared to 51% last year and 78% normally. 21% of acres have reached the dent stage compared to 33% normally. The condition of the crop was 6% very poor to poor, 18% fair, and 76% good to excellent. That is worse than the previous week. For alfalfa hay, the third cutting is 57% complete. Pasture conditions were rated 8% very poor to poor, 23% fair, and 69% good to excellent. Lastly, growing degree days accumulated since May 1 are above normal in all areas of Illinois. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
And finally, another state ag news here for your Wednesday. The National Weather Service has released an overview of last Monday's derecho that slammed through much of the Midwest, including Illinois. Meteorologist Tim Gunkel says powerful, damaging, and sustained winds were the key features of the system.
Generally, very early in the morning last Monday, we noticed that there was a storm complex that was forming in southeastern South Dakota and northeastern Nebraska. And just based off of looking through the models, it looked like the storm system was going to continue to progress and follow the cold front that it was out ahead of. And sure enough, through the day, we tracked this full system. then it began to impact our area, where overall this whole system generated winds up to 80 to 100 mile an hour through a large part of Iowa. And not only did it impact a lot of people, structures, and trees, but the agricultural industry has also suffered a lot from the storm system that moved through. Well, currently, actually, it was, I believe, 112 in Midway that we recorded. But generally, that currently is around an EF2, a low-end EF2 scale for the tornadoes side of the scale. And then for the hurricane side of the scale, that wind speed generally coincides with a low-end Category 3 or a high-end Category 2.
One storm-related fatality has been reported so far. The Linn County Sheriff's Department in Iowa says a bicyclist died after being struck by a falling tree. There were also numerous injuries reported, especially in the Cedar Rapids, Iowa area. The system also resulted in massive power outages throughout much of Iowa and northern Illinois. And finally, in local ag news here for your Wednesday, don't forget that there will be a USDA dairy distribution at the Carlinville Plaza tomorrow, Thursday. That'll be held from 9 till 1, just west of Billy's Furniture there in Carlinville. Half gallons of milk are available, along with a variety dairy box, including gallons of milk and other dairy products included in that box. Again, that'll be held tomorrow, Thursday, at the Carlinville Plaza from 9 until 1, just west of Billy's Furniture. And that'll wrap up your ag news here for a Wednesday morning. But remember, you can always send us your ag news by an email at WSMI at WSMIradio.com. So again, for your Wednesday morning, August 19th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.
Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by CHS, farmer-owned with global connections. By the CNB Bank and Trust, with 17 locations to serve you. By the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. And by Stein Seeds. On the birthday list for today, happy birthday today to Dale Hall of Litchfield, to Jim Killam of Carlinville, to Jay Martin of Witt, to Barb Tolley of Litchfield, to Walter Robinson of Litchfield, to Tim Hopwood of Fillmore, to Riley Blevins of Nokomis, to Jolita Hill of Nokomis, to Carl Fesser of Fillmore. If you want to wish a friend, relative, or loved one a happy birthday or happy anniversary, send us an email to WSMI at WSMIradio.com a week or two ahead of time. 6:46 on this Wednesday morning, radar weather is next.
Get the good stuff.
Hello, Earl Flack for locally owned McKay Knapp Auto Parts Store. Talk about construction, we've got it. Yes, we've made the road a mess out here and the rock driveway looks bad, but guess what? Brand new 4,500 square foot retail area. We're going to have everything in there from scoop to nuts. Also going to have a drive-up window. Yes, that means buy online, pick up store. How about buy online, pick up a window? Stop by your local Napa Auto Parts store. We'll be extending the hours. Should be done by October. Get the good stuff with Napa know-how.
6:47 on this Wednesday morning. Radar showing no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. Today, sunny skies. High temperatures in the low 80s. We will have northwest winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies. Low temperatures in the mid-50s. And for tomorrow, Thursday, sunny skies. Highs in the low 80s. Right now at the Weather Center, we have mostly clear skies on this Wednesday morning and a temperature of 55 degrees. And that's a check of radar weather from WSMI, WSMI FM 106. The news is next.
You're listening to WSMI, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, and W295BQ 106.9 Litchfield.
Time now for WSMI News on this Wednesday morning, brought to you by the Litchfield National Bank and by Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of health care. In the news this morning, a man is facing charges alleging that he ran over his wife with a truck, killing her while he was intoxicated. 62-year-old Teddy Wheel was charged Monday with two counts of aggravated DUI in connection with Saturday night's death of Donna Wheel. The Lebanon man was being held in the St. Clair County Jail on $75,000 bond, Prosecutors say Wheel struck his wife and another woman, whose injuries have not been specified, while he was behind the wheel of his pickup. Alton police and fire departments confirmed Tuesday afternoon they located a missing Alton Marina employee in the river next to the marina on Tuesday morning, and the man had previously been reported missing. The 12-year Alton Marina employee had been working night security when he was last seen at about 9 Monday night, according to Alton police. The morning marina staff noticed the security guard was missing and contacted Alton police to report him as missing about 9 o'clock Tuesday morning. Alton police and fire both responded to the marina and immediately began searching the area, including the river, for the missing employee. About 9:35, the body of the employee was found in the water next to the marina, and the coroner was notified, and the incident remains under investigation. One suspect is in custody after being tased following a police chase that ended after the suspect struck a parked car and tried to flee on foot Tuesday night at the intersection of Brown Street and Warden Avenue in Alton. Alton police attempted to stop a vehicle after it was learned that the driver had an outstanding felony warrant. The suspect fled, and after a brief police pursuit, the suspect ran his vehicle into a parked car at the intersection of Brown and Warden. The suspect then tried to flee on foot but was tased and was taken into custody and taken to the Alton City Jail. On Tuesday afternoon at 3:10, police responded to the St. Clair Square Mall food court for a disturbance between two males. When officers arrived, they learned one of the two had a handgun and had fired shots just outside the food court entrance, causing an exterior window to shatter. Both males had ran from the area when officers arrived. Preliminary information revealed that the two were acquainted with each other and had been arguing before the shots were fired. A preliminary search was conducted. One of the participants in the disturbance and a witness were located and taken into custody and taken to the Fairview Heights Police Department. No firearm was located. The mall was then locked down for a thorough search to locate the suspect who fired the gun. He was not found and is believed to have fled from the mall before officers arrived. Authorities in eastern Iowa are seeking information on a boat accident on the Mississippi River near LeClaire that killed an Illinois woman. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources says the collision of two boats on the river happened Sunday evening. The accident killed 52-year-old Anita Pank of Moline. A 61-year-old man also suffered critical injuries in the accident. Investigators say he was in the same boat as Pink. A woman in the other boat suffered minor injuries. Board members of the Office of the Architect of the Capitol will take up a request from House Speaker Michael Madigan to replace imagery of political giant Stephen Douglas and Illinois pioneer Pierre Menard because of their racist past. Madigan called for replacing statues and paintings of the two in July, inspired by the racially charged killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis and a nationwide movement to remove Confederate symbols. The board, consisting of the Senate's secretary and assistant secretary and the clerk and the assistant clerk of the House on Wednesday, will discuss its next step toward legislative approval. Chicago Public Schools have released the final reopening framework that gives specifics on how much time each grade will spend daily learning remotely as the coronavirus pandemic continues. The Chicago Teachers Union on Tuesday immediately criticized school officials, saying they created a plan without imagination and without consulting union officials. Chicago Public Schools initially planned on having students in schools for in-person learning twice a week. Earlier this month, Mayor Lori Lightfoot decided to switch to remote learning because of the increasing number of coronavirus cases in the city and concerns parents expressed about the safety of their children. More news after this.
These are certainly unusual times, and now more than ever, it's important to shop local and bank local. Whether this is the new normal or slowly returning to the old normal, life goes on with mortgages and car loans and savings accounts. This is where local access and local decision-making really become important. Litchfield National Bank stands ready to help. The friendly bank in the middle of the block is here for you. Litchfield National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender, and three locations to serve you.
Hello, this is Greg, a licensed physical therapist and board-certified orthopedic clinical specialist at Teamwork Rehab in Nokomis, where our staff works to provide high-quality, patient-focused care. We collaborate using our years of experience to design a treatment plan to meet each patient's goals. We monitor every patient's response during rehab and communicate with them throughout each appointment so that we can tailor the rehab session based on their needs and response to treatment. For us, the patient is the most important member of the team. Teamwork Rehab's expertise and focus on patient-centered care adds up to a quality healthcare experience at Hillsboro Area Hospital.
79-year-old Sheila Searlock of Nokomis passed away Saturday. A graveside service for 79-year-old Shay Searlock will be held today at 11 in the Nokomis Cemetery. A visitation will be held this morning from 10 o'clock until service time in the Nokomis Cemetery. 89-year-old Anelda Gordon of Hillsboro, formerly of Litchfield, passed away August 10th. A private graveside memorial service for 89-year-old Anelda Gordon will be held Friday. There is no visitation. 64-year-old Dolores Pratt of Benelde, formerly of Litchfield, passed away August 16th. Services for 64-year-old Dolores Pratt will be held Friday at 11 at the Plummer Funeral Home of Litchfield, burial in the Crabtree Cemetery. Friends may call Thursday evening from 4 until 7 at the Plummer Funeral Home of Litchfield. 70-year-old Gary Holman of Litchfield passed away August 11th. Graveside services for 70-year-old Gary Holman will be held Saturday at 10 in the Gillespie Cemetery. There is no visitation. 91-year-old Dorothy Schmidt of Litchfield passed away August 14th. Private family services for 91-year-old Dorothy Schmidt will be held on Monday, August 31st at the Zion Lutheran Church of Litchfield, burial in the Elm Lawn Cemetery, and there is no visitation. Some reminders on this Wednesday morning, the Macoupin County Historical Society is having a grilled pork steak drive-through dinner that will be held today, serving from 11 until 1 and from 4 until 6. St. Paul's Lutheran Church of Hillsboro is offering a free curbside lunch that will be held today from 11 until noon. CDC guidelines will be followed. The Federated Church of Carlinville is offering a free community dinner. It's pickup only. That will be held Thursday evening from 4:30 until 6:30. On Thursday, there will be a milk truck in the Carlinville Plaza near Billy's Furniture Store. They will be giving away half-gallon jugs of 2% milk and a variety dairy box. The program is sponsored by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. You can drive up to the truck, and the dairy boxes will be loaded for you. They ask that you wear a face covering. Ethan's Angels will have a pork patty lunch. This will be held at the Nokomis Kroger store on Friday, serving from 11 until 1. You can pre-order by Thursday at 2, phone 820-7375. The Litchfield VFW Club will have karaoke. That will be held Friday evening from 7 until 11. WSMI News this morning brought to you by Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of health care, and by the Litchfield National Bank. The weather is next.
I wake up with my radio, shower and make up with it, drink coffee and take off with it on my arm. No jumps, road bumps, add rhythm to my songs, sing-alongs at stop signs, sticky rhymes running through my days. Take my radio to go and go where my radio plays. However and wherever you listen, radio keeps you company.
Brought to you by the radio industry and this station. To remind you that radio is heard here. Radio is heard everywhere.
This weather report brought to you this morning by Heritage Health and by Evergreen Place of Litchfield.
Hello, I am Charlene Milberg, Community Relations Coordinator at Evergreen Place in Litchfield. As COVID-19 is in our communities across the country and world, please rest assured that we continue to make our first priority the health and well-being of our residents. If you know a senior loved one who needs assistance but feel they cannot afford assisted living, tell them about Evergreen Place. Please give me a call at 217-324-1500 to set up a personalized virtual tour. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
The Heritage Health Therapy and Senior Care team that you have come to know and count on is still here for you. Heritage's top priority has always been to provide for the safety and well-being of our residents. We continue to do so, especially now. Thank you for your patience and understanding as we have all had to adapt and follow new government guidelines. Remember, we are here for you. Contact me, Jessica Deaton, at 217-851-6683 or visit heritageofcare.com for more information.
It's coming up on 1 minute until 7 on this Wednesday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106. Today, sunny skies, high temperatures in the low 80s. We will have northwest winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies, low temperatures in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, Thursday, sunny skies, highs in the low 80s. And for Friday through Sunday, partly cloudy skies, low temperatures in the mid-60s. High temperatures will be in the mid-80s. Right now at the Weather Center, we have mostly clear skies and a temperature of 55 degrees. This weather report brought to you by Heritage Health and by Evergreen Place of Litchfield. The village of Palmyra continues under a boil water order that's in effect until further notice. The news is next at 7 o'clock.
You're listening to WSMI, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, and W295BQ 106.9.